And all God's children said. As I already mentioned, this is not a moment that happens every day in churches. Acknowledging the call to the Lord's ministry, put on a man by the Lord, is a moment that should be dealt with the utmost of respect and reverence and honesty. It's a moment that a lot of men, when they are honest with themselves, they realize that as much as they would like to do it, the call isn't upon them. And then there are others that might say, I really don't want to do this, but the call is upon me. Basically, it's all about God. What does God ask of you? What has God called you to do? Brothers and sisters, without any further words, will you please join me in a word of prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, dear God, this moment, it is your moment. This is a moment where we come, and although we acknowledge the work that you have done in an individual's life, and although we will acknowledge that individual's surrendering of their lives to you and to your ministry, we know that this moment is still all about you, dear God. The scripture makes it very clear that no man is ever called out for his own glory, but they are called out to glorify God with all that we are and everything that we have. And we pray, dear God, that in this moment and in this time, that this concept will come through loud and clear to the church family, that this is a moment where we are celebrating reverently what God has done. Father God, I wish that your people this world over made it more of a habit to celebrate all things that you do, because truly you are at work around us perpetually, constantly. But dear God, in this moment, it is my honor and this church's honor to acknowledge your call upon this brother. And we ask you, dear Lord, that as we've already stated, we pray that for this brother of ours, for his family, and for this church family, that this will be a day that will long bless us, Father. May it be a blessing to us today as we celebrate in our hearts what you have done. But Father God, may it be a day that all of us get to look back upon many, many years from now and acknowledge that we had a part in this, dear Father. Dear God, please, bless this man, bless his family, and bless this church in this time. We love you, Lord. In your son's name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we want to talk about the charge of the minister. What is a minister? Who is a minister? What do they do? Well, let me tell you, as any minister can tell you, the reason why we get in the ministry is to get rich. We're all here for that big money, folks. You all know that. No, that's not it. There's a call upon your life, and that's why you do it. And sometimes in the seasons of ministry, sometimes you will have more than others, but sometimes there's seasons of famine and fasting. There's seasons of wondering where the next meal is going to come from, how you're going to pay the next bill and such. Because let's be honest, unless you're crooked or a televangelist or something like that, most of us aren't in here for the wealth of it. We're in it for another kind of wealth. The wealth that comes when you know that God has touched your heart and has led you in down a certain path, towards a certain calling, towards reaching his people with the gospel. Brothers and sisters, there is no richness in this world that surpasses the richness of the moment when you lead someone to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is no riches of this earth that surpasses the wealth of the moment when some word of counsel or some insight shared from Scripture or through song touches someone and it allows for God to melt the ice that is built up around their heart, or to do as the Scripture says, to take that heart that has been bruised, branded, calloused, or seared as if burned with a branding iron, to remove that and to see God put a heart back in the person of flesh and blood, and that beats rightly as it ought to, and it learns to experience life again and love afresh and anew and embrace this world under the lordship of a God that loves them. There is no riches of this world that comes close to those moments. In the calling of the minister, you are acknowledging that God has set a person aside. And in our own unique way, each and every one of us are set aside. Some of us are musicians. Some of us pretend to be. Some of us have no illusions whatsoever. They just aren't. Some of us are mechanics. Some of us are accountants. Some of us are doctors and nurses. And some of us are not. Many of us have callings. All of us have a calling on our life. All of us have a plan for our lives from God. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to help you and not to harm you. Amen. He has plans for us. But at the same time, we acknowledge as a church family that in the scripture, the Lord said, I have called some to be pastors. It is a special calling. And as we take this moment, we do not enter into it lightly. Amen, brothers and sisters. I have known this brother for 30 years. I find him fitting to back me up in my pulpit. I find it fitting to spend my quality time with him, to tell our stories, to have our memories, to make plans for ministry. I can trust him with the things that I work with when I am not there. That is not a trust I extend easily. I love my pulpit. I love my church. You all know I love you. Amen. This means yes. Come on, y'all. You all know I love you. I tell you it every single week. My goodness. But anyways, yeah, I have a great love for all of you. And I would never leave you recklessly in the hands of somebody that I did not trust with your hearts and your lives. This is a very important moment. I want to share, as I was reflecting on stories I could share in this day, I thought of so many I wanted to say, but then thought twice about it. But one account I'd like to share is, well, this Bible right here, this old Bible of mine, I literally used to go through a Bible a year. I would just wear them out. But this was one of my favorites because this was given to me by my church family on the occasion of being licensed to the gospel ministry. Not ordained, but licensed. And it says right here, presented to Paul Robert Rush by his church family, Trinity Baptist Church, Vacaville, California, on the occasion of being licensed to preach, July 16th, 1995. I worked so hard to get this licensing. I was like, next year's going to be 30 years since I was licensed. That means I can, do stuff and cool things as a minister. But I had to work for this. I went to college, and Gary and I met in college, and I was a few years older than the average student there. They used to call me Silverback Bob because I was already a little gray and was big and old and all that kind of stuff. And, and I walked like a gorilla, yeah. Dragging my knuckles on the ground. But anyways, I had to go to college. I had to be in the ministry for like 2 or 3 years. I had to have been serving at a church before my church family would extend a license to me because my church took it very, very serious. You have to invest the time. You got to live the life. You got to look the role. And I'm like, but I'm a member of this other church now that I'm serving at. And they're like, yeah, but if you want us to license you, this is how it's going to be. So that was how it was. And I spent my time. But lo and behold, I meet this one guy. He's a freshman. He comes right in. It's like in my junior year in college. He comes in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed just out of high school, having just been licensed to the gospel ministry. And I remember sitting there, you punk. what have you accomplished so far? You went to camp? Woo! No, that was this guy right here. His church recognized the calling on his life at a very early age, and he shows up at college age 18, and he's already licensed to preach. However, I did beat him with ordination by about 28 years, so we'll say that. But this is a moment. I have had the pleasure of ordaining a number of deacons in my roughly 30 years as a pastor. If memory serves, this will only be the second time that I have ordained someone to the gospel ministry. Now, that other person is now the academic dean of Trinity College, so you got some big shoes to fill, buddy. Can't wait to see what happens, what you become when you grow up. But anyways, talking about the call, brothers and sisters. In John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Now, this is part of the heart of the call of the minister. I have appointed you, and I have appointed you to do something, not to fill a role, not to sit in a chair, not to, you know, just get up and say things, but we have been appointed for a purpose, and that purpose that we have been appointed to is to bear fruit. Ministers should have some qualities exhibited in their life, some fruit exhibited in their life that shows that they have been the ministering type, that they cared about people, that they loved people, that they were trying to encourage people and bring them along in the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's not that we should bear fruit, but that our fruit should be that which abides, that we should be putting things into the hearts and minds and souls and lives of other people that will abide, that will be a blessing for all of their days, that will cause them to leave fruit that abides. We have been called not to be laissez-faire with this world. We have not been called to just let this world go on around us. We have been called to engage. And brothers and sisters, as our brother here, as his main role and calling has been that of the music ministry. You know, mine is the speaking ministry. His is the music ministry. Not that he can't speak, but his primary calling in his life has been music. Music speaks to the heart, and music speaks to the soul. And it can carry with it a message that oftentimes just the spoken word can't. It has a way of digging deep. It speaks to us by putting truths in us through worship. Truths that last. Fruit that abides. Brothers and sisters, when we call someone to the gospel ministry, when we call someone to the deacon ministry, when we call someone to any position of ordainment, we are calling them because they've been a blessing and we believe that they can continue to be a blessing. Because we see a love for the Lord in them that we believe is going to stand the test of time. And whatever we ask, as these who have been called of the Lord, you ask the Father in my name that he may give it to you. This last section of John 15, 16, it reminds us of whose service we are in. It says, in anything that you need, you ask the Father in my name. And that's Jesus Christ doing the talking. You ask the Father in my name. Brothers and sisters, one of the foremost blessings of the minister is that we get to preach the name of Jesus again and again and again. That we get to share the good news of Jesus Christ. As I've often shared, the ministry is not always easy. But the ministry, the preaching, the singing, the teaching, the actions, these are not things that I or any other minister has just a responsibility to do before the Lord. But these are things that we get to do. It is an excitement and a blessing to serve the Lord. Even when it is difficult, it is a time of blessing. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 1:9 about Jesus, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purposes and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. I know my brother already knows this because I've already said it to him, but if I was to turn to my brother Gary and say, Gary, when did you feel the call into the ministry? Or when were you called to the gospel ministry? That's not rhetorical. When you were 16. And this is where I would playfully say, wrong! That's when you interpreted the call. But the scripture says, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. This is part of the reason why the role of a pastor and a preacher and an evangelist and a deacon and every ordained position that exists in this world, they should not be taken lightly and they should not be treated frivolously. God has called his ministers forward from before the very foundation of time. God had a plan for you. The scripture says that he lovingly knows each and every one of us, and he knitted us together in our mother's wombs. And from Jeremiah 29:11, which I have already shared, and he has a plan for us. His plan for Brother Gary, his plan for me, his plan for Phil was that we would be ordained to positions of ministry before this world. And this calling was before the very foundation of time, before the ages began. God already knew whom he wanted, when he wanted, where he wanted. And as I've shared with this church before, many a Christian right now, as we look at the events of the Middle East and stuff, we wonder, are we in this last age? Are we in this last time? Well, my humble personal theology is that we have been in the last times, the last age, since Jesus Christ rose from the grave. This is the age of the church, and the Bible makes no other mention of any age after this one. So what's next on God's day planner regarding prophetic utterances and such? The return of Jesus Christ. And I look forward to that day with great anticipation. And I know my brother does, and I know you all do too. Amen? That day when every tear will be wiped away. That day when there will be no more sadness. That day of great reunion with loved ones, and all kinds of other joys and beauties are going to exist in that day. But he has saved us to this holy calling, not because of our works, not because any of us that hold these positions have some inherent value of our own that is better than anybody else, that is more godly, that we're some kind of a better or super person, so we've been called to these positions. No, God just has a plan for each and every one of us, and that plan is that by all means possible, he might win all that would be won. Amen? And in that plan, he has chosen some for these various roles. None of us have a role that is less than anyone else. But at the same time, he gave some to be ministers. He gave some to be pastors. In these positions, and I'm not saying this because I'm standing here, and so I'm saying, love me or adore me or anything else. But as we call this brother forward, we have to remind ourselves that this is a special calling. And this church, this family, we have been called to support this brother, his family. And how do we do it? Number one, we love him. Amen. We pray for him. We wish him well. We think highly of them. We become the people that we need to be as we minister alongside them. We help to create an environment where fruit can be born, fruit that lasts. We try to be the family and create the environment where those that the Lord has called to different aspects of ministry can come and do as the Lord has instructed. The calling is beautiful. The calling is from before the foundation of time. The calling cannot be ignored. When you receive the calling, you know the calling. I need to share with you, and you all know this, that in my life, I have never desired to be that kind of pastor that a lot of us have known growing up. That one that lives in the ivory tower and that, you know, walks around like this all day long and is kind of a little bit mean and a little bit gruff and you don't want to get too close. I've known a lot of those ministers in my life, and I don't want to be that person, and I don't want to pretend like I've never sinned, that I've never had an emotion that I shouldn't have had, or said some words that I never should have said. Ministers aren't perfect people, but we worship a perfect God. Amen? But in this quest of all of our following after this perfect God, following those who have been called out to lead, the desire is that in all that we are and in all that we can do for you, our church family, and the church family back to us, the prayer, the hope, is that we all grow closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and learn to reflect his glory in his person more and more every day. This is called the process of sanctification. When you become a Christian, you're saved, and you're going to heaven. Because God perfects our souls. But we know that our bodies, our hearts, our minds, they can still go all kinds of places they shouldn't. But we strive to see all of that brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that in those moments in my life where I have felt that nearness and that beauty and that glory of Jesus Christ in my life, I can tell you that there is nothing like those moments in all of creation. And I know my brother has had those moments. I've had those moments, and I certainly hope y'all have had those moments. But as a family of God, we draw nearer together. by drawing unto Christ. And hopefully, dynamically and beautifully, we see ourselves become more and more transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. The call is from God. The call is irrevocable. The call is real. The call was before the foundation of time. And the call is something that should be recognizable by those people around us. And that's part of what ordination is. It's the family of God saying, this gentleman, for you all, he has worked with us for the last year and a half. For me, I've known him for 30 years. I knew him as a child, basically, and I know him as a full-grown adult. And it's where we all come together and say, I will put my hands on that brother, and I will pray over that brother in front of everybody else, saying that I acknowledge the Lord's call on their life. The call is from God, but the call ought to be recognized by the church family. But in addition to the call, there is the life that then must be lived. In 1 Corinthians 7:17, it says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Such a powerful statement there. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him. Brothers and sisters, I need to share with you something. It says the Lord has assigned a life to you. And that's the New Testament. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have plans for you. I have assigned a life to you. Now let me ask you this, church family. Does God love you? Amen. One of the challenges that we face as we watch this brother live out the call on his life, as you watch me live out the call on my life, as we watch you live out the calling that is upon all of your lives, we know that God assigns the life. The life that God assigns has a plan for help and not for harm. And this is where we come into that moment of challenge. What life are we living? As we ask ourselves about these two passages, that God has assigned a life and that it has a plan for help and not for harm, we find ourselves often struggling in life, don't we? And we find ourselves saying, what is my calling? What is my purpose? What is my this? What is my that? Why am I in so much pain? Why do I hurt so much? Why do I cry so much? Where does all of this frustration come from? Brothers and sisters, this is where we have to challenge ourselves in love. Don't be any meaner to yourself than necessary. Amen. I'm not into teaching people to beat up on themselves. But this is where we got to challenge ourselves and say, no, wait a minute. God has assigned unto me a life, and the life that he has assigned to me has a plan for help and not for harm. So why am I not feeling it? That's where we have to ask ourselves the question. There might be times in our lives where we are called to carry our crosses, no doubt about it. But on the overall, we have to ask ourselves, am I where God has asked me to be? Am I doing what God has asked me to do? Am I leading a life that is the life that God assigned to me? Or am I following my own will and my own ways? As this brother is here with us now, and as we have this wonderful opportunity to ordain him, which is something that should have been done a long, long time ago, it's a joy for me to be able to say, I've known this brother over the years. I've tried to get this brother to work with me for years. Literally. I brought him over to cover for me at my church plant many years ago. And then, like, as soon as it was over, well, did you like it? Did you have fun? Was that? Can I steal you from your current church? Over time, I have seen God's movement in his life and him being faithful to the call. The challenge then becomes, well, if I may, there was a study done a number of years back about problem makers in churches. I know that comes as a shock to a lot of you that there might be problem makers in churches. But for those of you that have sat in churches for many a year, I'll bet you as I say that, you probably got names and faces that have popped into your head. We've known them. They happen. But an interesting thing happened once upon a time. A study was made where they found a whole bunch of churches, and they asked for people in the churches to point out the problem makers. And they got to interview the problem makers. And to the last man, Every single one of them shared that at one point in their life, they felt that the Lord called them to the ministry, but they said no. And by having turned their backs on the Lord's calling, they went from becoming a people that should have been establishing fruit, and fruit that would last at that, but instead they became naysayers and troublemakers, becoming hindrances to the Lord's calling. They were called to beauty. They settled for their own will and received a ministry of misery. Brothers and sisters, the challenge that goes forward to the minister is not that dissimilar than the challenge that goes out to all of us, that we have all been called to do our very, very best to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to serve Him as with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love Him as He is the lover of our souls and all that we are. And we find that when we are in God's will, we become a happier people. When we are in God's will, we become a more joyful people. And this is why I have to stand here and say to you all today that whether it's by statistics that have been done through studies or the testimony of my own life and others that I have known and the lives that they have lived, being in the good graces of God is better than being anywhere else in all of creation. Thank you, sister. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We have to walk worthy of the calling. Gary has to walk worthy of the calling. I have to walk worthy of the calling. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In contrast to the troublemakers, the problem makers, did you hear what Ephesians 4 just said? Bearing with one another in love, eager. Remember, in the Bible, every word matters. What does eager mean? It means eager. It means desirous, earnestly desirous, energetically desiring. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And you see, as we've already discussed, people that have known that they were called but said no, they became something other. Rather than being eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, they would become eager to run things down, attack things, mock things, mess up ministries, drive people off. I've known these people. Brothers and sisters, I'm happy to say, as far as I'm aware, none of those people exist in this room. Amen? And may they never. Because may this family always be eager to maintain the unity of peace that's found in the Spirit, with all eagerness, with all patience, bearing with one another in love, and all humility. Speaking of humility, I know our brother said a few minutes ago, somebody asked him, are you going to give a speech? Well, it might seem kind of funny to you because, you know, our brother here is kind of, you know, he speaks. He's always got a joke ready. He's always got a smile on his face, something to share. But he's actually not into big fanfares. And so he asked me not to, like, I was planning, like, you know, a jazz band and all. But no, he's like, no. He's like, keep it low key. So I said, okay, we'll keep it low key. But nonetheless, we got to do something nice for the guy. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Brother Gary, when did you receive the Lord as Savior? Age 5? Amen. If you have received the Lord, you know what it means to have been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. But to understand that you have not just been saved in Christ from the frying pan to the fire. You have been saved from the darkest regions to a life of light and hope and glory and ministry. You have become, in Christ, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. What is the greatest calling of any minister? To be able to share the gospel through word, through song, through whatever. That is our blessing. It is our joy. And there is nothing like it. The preaching of the gospel is the most important thing in my life. And I know that for my brother here, in his own means and manner of preaching and teaching and sharing, it is also the most important thing in his life. To proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When we talk about a life that God has called, and when we talk about a plan for help and a life that's been ascribed to us by God, and as you've often heard me share, the Lord is the Lord of the Bible study, but the Lord is also the Lord of everything. I did not know, after all of the years of my chasing Brother Gary to come and get him to do worship with me, I didn't know that shortly after he got here, I'd have a heart attack. I didn't know that since January 3rd, that fateful day, so much for this year's resolutions, I did not know that from January 3rd to April 21st, that I would miss more preaching engagements than I had in the previous 30 years combined. I have never had an associate minister work alongside of me for more than about a few months at a time. I never had at any point in my life someone to cover for me if I was in the hospital or on vacation. With my wife here as a witness, I never took more than a week's vacation in a row in my entire life because they were always Sunday night to Saturday morning because I was always in church that next Sunday. The minister should have a fire burning within them that compels them to do what they do, to never want to miss it. Not that we're greedy for our pulpits or any such thing like that. But as the book of Ezekiel says, and as the book of Isaiah says, it's like a fire shut up in our bones that we have to do this. This is who we are and this is what we are. And I do not say this in any small manner whatsoever. But the fact that I had Gary here to cover for me when I couldn't be here meant the world to me. That there was another minister, another man called out by God to fill, to preach, to teach, to do whatever needed to be done. And again, what a blessing it is for me that this man has been here. And I hope it's been a blessing for you all. But again, this is just a picture, though, of the calling of the Lord. The Lord has His people. He has His pieces. He has all of His resources where He needs them. And He moves them as He sees fit. And He does with them as He sees fit in accordance with His glory. And again, some people be like, oh no, Pastor Bob had a heart attack. What are we going to do? Where I'm sitting there going, I'm having a heart attack. I'm glad Gary's there. My people, my family won't be without me. If I'm no longer here, there's someone with them to get them past this hump that they're going to be in. If I can't make it to preach, there's someone there to cover. When someone is called to the ministry and they surrender to be God's man in a certain setting, He uses them. And He finds those ways. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a glorious thing when ministry happens. There will always be challenges. 1 Corinthians 16:9, speaking of the troublemakers. For a wide door for effective ministry has opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Brother Gary, have you ever met any adversaries in your ministry? Unfortunately, I don't need names, but none here though, right? Amen. No, there's a certain reality for those of us that have been in the ministry for at least 3 decades. Sadly, we've all known one or two. Just those ones that, for whatever reason, think it's their job to harm ministries. I need to share something with you, okay? It's tough enough running a ministry when you have no intention of being harmful. Why? Because as a minister, Every single thing you ever do, say, or act, or dress, or whatever is under scrutiny. You all out there going, oh, no way. You know it. You know it. But it is true. And I even remember my pastor saying to me, Bob, whatever you do, get married before you become a senior pastor. I was like, why? You don't want them watching you while you date. And I don't think that was a specific challenge against me and my dating habits, but just in general, you know, that the eyes will be upon you everywhere you go. I'm like, oh, okay. So following his advice, got married, almost immediately after becoming a pastor. But there will always be challenges. There will always be the looky-loos. There will always be those malcontents. There will always be that 2% of people that felt called to the ministry but said no and have suffered in darkness because of it ever since. There will always be those. But the challenging thing for a minister is that in spite of everything they do, say, act, wear, or whatever, being under some kind of scrutiny from people, there's an interesting thing that underlies all of it. We are called to love them, every one of them, no matter their behavior. No matter their conduct, we're called to love them. I've known you've had your adversaries. I've had my adversaries. And yet here, you still are. We've both had our times in the wilderness in our lives and in our ministries, but here you are. This is why this moment should have happened long ago, but I consider it a personal blessing that I get to be the one that presides over this moment. Church family, let me ask you just in all clarity and in all honesty, if you love this man, can I please get an amen? Amen. If you love his family, can I get an amen? Amen, amen. Amen. Lastly, the reasoning. In Isaiah 61:1 comes a verse that every minister knows. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. This is a monumental task, but it is one that has been handed to ministers and to church members alike. For those that have suffered brokenhearted, we have a job to help them mend those wounds. We have a job and a responsibility, but it's not just a job or responsibility, that it's a giftedness that's been given unto us to say to those who are suffering and who are hurting, don't worry, it's going to be all right. Don't worry, God has ascribed a life to you, and the name of that life is not suffering and misery. God has ascribed a life unto you, and that life is one of help and not harm. And don't worry, you're going to get through this. We've been called to be the shoulder to let people cry on us. We've been called to be the presence of Christ in this lost and dying world. This is not just a responsibility. It is a glory. And it is not just a glory for those who have been called to the ministry. It's all of our job. No one has not been called to the ministry. Amen? We have all been called in our various capacities. But these words out of Isaiah, when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, this hearkens me forward to this New Testament, to the Great Commission. God said, as he was rising up into the sky, Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But it's the next part that is all too often forgotten. And when Jesus Christ said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the very end of the age. The Spirit of the Lord is upon the man of God, and he will never leave nor forsake. And as the Great Commission says, he will be with us even unto the very end of the age. Christ is at the center of all that we do. Amen. Philippians 2, 1 and 2, in conclusion. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. If there is any love, if there's any consolation of the Spirit, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection, if any compassion, be of like mind. Let us all then, brothers and sisters, be overflowing with the encouragement of Christ. Let us all be overflowing with the consolation of love, the fellowship of the Spirit. Let us all be overflowing with affection and compassion. And brothers and sisters, just as we have been doing, and the Lord has been blessing us of late, let us continue to serve the Lord with all our heart, souls, mind, and strength, and let's win this community. Amen? The call of the minister, the challenge extended to the minister, is not just a call that the candidate should hear, because it is the same call that is upon all of our lives. You and I have been called with a holy calling to win this world. And in spite of all of the ways that people have attempted to win this world, let us win this world with the encouragement of Christ, the consolation of love, the fellowship of the Spirit, with much affection and compassion, thereby making the Lord's joy complete as we become like-minded with Jesus Christ Himself. As Philippians 2:5 says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, will you join me for a word of prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the opportunity. We often think that this moment is about the man being called. But the real blessing is for the church family, the ones that acknowledge the call, the ones that get to see what a man called by Christ ought to be like, look like, and do. And then to know that as we see the call go forward, the challenge accepted, that it's our challenge also. It's moments like this that ought to bear much fruit, and fruit that lasts, as all of us partake in this moment. Dear God, as we've already mentioned, I pray that this moment will be a powerful moment in my brother's life. I know my brother has already shared that he doesn't really plan on being different. And I don't really expect him to, dear God. I expect him to keep doing the fine job that he has been doing, serving you with all that he is, dear Lord. But Father God, may all of us just understand and pick up the mantle of leadership, each of us a little bit more on our own, to pick up the mantle of love and of grace, to be like-minded with Jesus Christ. Father God, as I know this moment will be a blessing to my brother, let it be a blessing to this church family. We love you, Lord. As we continue in an attitude of prayer, I'd like to ask my brother Phil to come forward. And brother Mike, would you do me a kind favor? Could you bring me a chair from the room next door to you? Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Brother Gary, would you please? He didn't want a fanfare, but we're not going to pray over him. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to bow our heads momentarily. And as we do, our church is a church family. Phil and I, we're no one's bosses. We're your brothers in the Lord. Gary's your brother in the Lord. Amen. And this moment is not about what Phil and I are going to say gets done here. But you're part of this church family. I'd like to begin this moment. And if there's anybody in this room that would like to pray before Brother Phil and I do, As we bow our heads, please just take a moment, offer up a sentence or two prayer to the Lord as a blessing over this man. And when the prayers cease for a few moments, Brother Phil and I will begin. Will you join me? Father God, it's been 30 years that I've known this brother. I've known him longer than my wife. And he's one of the oldest friends that I have that I'm still in contact with. I thank you for all the years that I've known him. From the first time I met him when he had that childlike grin and a youthful exuberance about him, to today, dear God, as he stands before this congregation singing some of the most beautiful songs and now seated here preparing to be ordained. Father God, allow this church family, as your Spirit leads, to fill their mouths with the words that they ought to say, dear God. And Father, may they be a blessing to this man and his family. But Lord, if there is anyone in this church family that wishes to pray, let them speak up now.
Lord, what a blessed day this has been. A brother Barry has come and just done a wonderful worship ministry and technology ministry, but it's just so much more than that for us. Mm. He's a great man of God and just has given us so many blessings and has had to cover the pulpit a couple times and just has preached your word, Lord. And we are so thankful and so blessed as a church to have him. And we look forward to his growth in his ministry. We pray this in your wonderful name. Amen.
Dear God, it is my joy and pleasure just to be able to pray over my brother right now. Father God, you gifted me with a call to the ministry, and my life has been forever changed. I know you called this brother of mine long, long ago, but today he's following you in ordination. And what a joy it is, Lord God, that, Father, as I shared, this should have been done long ago, but in your divine plan, you knew it was going to happen here in this place and that this church was going to get to partake in this moment, that this church was going to be able to commission this man into ordination. And, Father God, we pray a blessing upon this man. We ask you to bless him from the inside out in his innermost regions, dear God. We pray that, Father God, you will do as you have been doing and continue to reveal your presence in his life, that you will continue, Lord God, to just speak through him and all that he says and does. We pray, dear God, that you will continue to build this brother into a man of your household, dear God, who establishes fruit that lasts, dear Lord. Father God, I pray your love upon him. I pray your peace upon him. I pray your love and peace upon his family. I pray, dear God, that even now, all of his wonderful ladies over there, that their hearts are just as proud can be without being sinning, dear Lord. I just hope and pray that they are rejoicing right now in this calling that is upon this man, dear Lord. But Father God, please, for however long this brother is allowed to be a blessing here in our midst, I pray that every day will be a joy for him. I pray, dear God, that this moment will forever be a joy for him. I pray, dear God, just as Isaiah did, that your Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, would be upon him, that you will help him to preach freedom for the captives, a mending of the heart to the brokenhearted. Father God, as we've already shared, there will be adversaries. There always are. But as the book of Ezekiel tells us, whether they listen or not is irrelevant. What matters is that they know a man of God was amongst them. Because Father God, the life lived for God is an indispensable part of this life. Without it, this world would be so much colder. So Father God, please turn your love up inside of this man. Strengthen him from the inside out. Help him to stand strong in any and all trials and adversities. And Father God, let him stand above each and every trial with just the hope of Jesus Christ written across his face. Father God, equip his words, equip his songs, equip him as your man to reach this lost and dying world. Father God, this man is a blessing. Help him to become a blessing all the more. As my brother Phil and I, as the ordained men in this church, have our hands upon this brother of ours, it is our great pleasure, dear God, to confer ordination to the gospel ministry. Following the instructions and leadership of this church body, we ordain this man to the gospel ministry. Bless him. Bless all of his endeavors. May he bear much fruit in your service, dear God, and may there be much joy and many souls saved. We love you, O Lord our God. In your Son's most beautiful name, we do pray. And all God's children said,
amen.
Wait right here, brother. We did something a little different for our brother. Normally, when you get licensed or ordained, there is a certificate that comes with it so that you can go wherever you got to go and say, I was ordained, and you can show that certificate and such. But like I said, I have mine somewhere. It's somewhere in a pile of papers, I'm sure. But we want to do something a little different for you, brother. And every minister needs at least one plaque on his office wall. But Brother Garrett, it says Certificate of Ordination. We, the undersigned, upon the recommendation and request of the congregation of First Baptist Church Solvang, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging the God-given gifts, Christian experience, call to the ministry, and views concerning proper Christian belief and doctrine, hereby certify that Gary R. Isgrig was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by authority and order of the First Baptist Church of Solvang, California, on this day, April 21st, 2024. Church family, this was brought forward at a business meeting not too long ago. The vote was unanimous to see this gentleman ordained to the gospel ministry. But I ask you here and again, if you are in full agreement and full cooperation with this man's being ordained, can you please acknowledge it by saying, aye. We love you, brother. And it says, we the undersigned, and it engraved our signatures, so it's permanent, my friend. I'd like to present this to you. Well, could you please rise now? Brother Phil, why don't you come on a little closer, too? Let's get Brother Gary right in the middle. And if I may, church family, can we get an amen?
Amen.
Here's for you, brother.
Were
you taking pictures, Jamie? Did we get a good one? I mean, considering the models, was it okay? Okay. We love you, brother. God bless you. Brother Phil, thank you for coming up and being a part of the moment with us. Now, I know you don't make speeches, but is there anything you want to say?
Barbecue next door.
He's a man of few words, unless you get him joking, then he never stops. But as you know, he does his ministry is up there on the instruments and when using his voice and song. However, I've heard that he actually is I've been told this years past, and I've heard it recently also, he is a good one to have around when I am not here. I've heard it over the years saying that you are a wonderful compliment to my own preaching ministry, and thank you, brother. But again, I kind of just want to keep saying, and all God's people said, and all God's people said, because I'm a happy boy right now. And y'all know when I get happy, I'm always like asking for amens. But again, this is a beautiful moment for me. 30 years, in my humble opinion, have come full circle. He was there, and you know, when we brought him in originally, the plan was to ordain him. That was part of the whole thing. Come in, let's get you ordained, let's do all of this stuff. And then, of course, life took a couple of turns for me over these last year and a half. But again, I feel like it's now come full circle from 18 to, how old are you now? 47? She did, didn't she? And a very happy birthday. Well, I'm not going to embarrass her. I only want to embarrass you right now. So, but again, I love this brother. I love his family. And I'm so thankful that you guys are here and have been here for this last year and a half. And again, it touches my heart. Happy to be a part of this with you. And I hope that you've enjoyed this time. And I hope it blesses you. And I hope that you like your barbecue. Speaking of which, Brother Robert is outside. It's not our normal potluck today. It is a barbecue. He's made tri-tip, as we mentioned, and chicken. And so I hope we see everybody who can next door with us momentarily. And by all means, as you partake in the feast, feel free to come on over, pat this brother on the back, give him a hug, tell him you love him, and his family also, because you guys are very important to us also. But church family, are we ready? Will you join me in a word of prayer? Our most gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as I've already shared, Lord, this is only the second time that I have ordained someone to the gospel ministry. This is something that ought to be rare, but in the future, I hope that we have the opportunity to grow up many more discipled gentlemen who are fervent and happy to sing for you, to teach for you, to preach for you, to serve for you. And I hope we have many, many more opportunities like this in the future. But dear God, I have only ordained two men thus far, and neither of whom do I regret, nor will I ever do I plan on regretting. I thank you for these fine gentlemen that you have allowed me to walk shoulder to shoulder with in your service, dear God. But Father, as we mentioned, the charge is not just for this man, it's for this whole church family. We understand that we have all been called. You have appointed a life to each of us. And each of these lives are supposed to be filled with your ministry. So, Father God, please, help us each to step up to the plate. Help us each to step up and take hold of the life that you have called us to, that one that has a plan for help and not for harm. And dear God, may we be found serving you. May we be found in your good graces. May we be found mending the broken hearts. May we be found setting the captives free. Dear God, but more than anything, may we be found saving souls for thy glory and thy kingdom, dear Lord. Father God, as we prepare to go, may this church consider itself challenged just as this man has been challenged. Help us, Lord, to go out and to take this world by surprise with the love of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and it's in your Son's most beautiful name that we do pray. Amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters? Do you mind if we do this a little different today? Like, why don't you just stay right there for a moment? Do you all know the song, He is Lord? It's a real easy one if you don't know it. Let's give Brother Gary a couple minutes off, and if you'll join me, let's sing He is Lord in celebration for this moment. He is Lord. He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.